blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 365, and thereof stanzas 1 and 2. From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 1 and 2 of Psalter 365.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, and thereof chapter 23, beginning with verse 24 to 43. But first, we make confession of our faith with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat Luke 23, beginning with verse 24 to and including 43. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For, behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou dost give unto us again a place before Thee when we have no right to a place in this world. For Thou dost look upon the heart of each one, and there is not one of us that is able to come and to stand before Thee in the judgment. And yet Thou, in Thy long-suffering mercy, still giveth unto us and our children 2 feet in this world, a space where we may live and where we may do our labors in this world and where we may exist with one another for the good of one another. And could it yet be also to give of all our life and all our heart back unto thee? O Lord, thou knowest it lives not in us, for we are fallen creatures, as sons and daughters of Adam, and we will have none of thee. But it is thy holy day, wherein thou dost work, and thou bringest us around thy holy word. Oh, we beseech thee for that great, powerful work of thy most holy Spirit, and that thou wouldst also remember us. For there is no man and that will come unto thee. Then we have all gone our own way, and we all have turned aside, and there is not one that seeketh after God. Then it belongeth, O Lord, unto thee to work with might and with power, to apply that which we do consider in these weeks, the suffering of thy dear and thy only begotten Son. Oh, what a deep humiliation that thou hast given thyself unto, to place thyself under the law, and to come and to suffer the punishment of the law, that for lawbreakers that there may be hope. O Lord, then thou thyself hast suffered as no man, both in body and in soul, and we cannot fathom the extent of that awful suffering. But we know just a little bit, for thy servant did say, we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. Oh, how much suffering there is also in this world, thou knowest. Wilt thou remember all those that are needy, those that are afflicted and sick in these times, and those that mourn their loved ones? Wilt thou care for them over the length and the breadth of this whole world? For thou sayest that when the judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. O Lord, could it please thee then to bless those means that we and our children in the world in which we live might learn to bow before thee, and that we may receive profit under all thy judgments, and that thou mayest look upon those that have needs and cares of the body and of the mind, and those also in the midst of us that have been in the hospital, that receive treatments, those that go for tests, those that suffer pain, those that have difficulties of the mind. Remember all that are addicted to drugs, those that do have other addictions. O Lord, care for each and every one. Wilt thou give a desire to fight against sin, to resist the devil, that he may flee from us, and that we also may walk in accordance with thy holy law? Wilt thou remember especially thy church, for they above all in this world do receive a portion wherein that they must bear something of the iniquity of their hearts. For thy servant did say, if in this life only we have a hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. O Lord, they have nothing on this world. And if they had not hope in thee, they would have nothing on the world to come. O that thou mayst remember them then in their wretchedness and in their misery. For when the poor man died, then he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But here upon this world, then the dogs did lick his sores. Wilt thou send the dogs, O Lord, to lick the sores of thy dear children where that they are, that they may have compassion upon them. O thou art able to use the simplest means in this world to uphold thy own and to care for those that are tried and that have no might against the great company that cometh against them. O that thou mayest supply for those who fear, for the welfare of their poor soul, as they travel closer and closer to that day, when they must pass out of this life and stand before thy great judgment seat. O then before their eyes already, then they may see themselves standing at thy throne. O and now already, the fiery eyes of thee as judge, they are piercing already into their hearts to make them to tremble. O that they may be given a little faith to see and to behold the grace that is in thy dear and only begotten Son, even for such as they have made themselves to be. O that they also may be included in that shed blood upon that cursed cross of Calvary. O that thou mayst remember them in this day, a little blessing, a little token, Lord, out of thy most heavenly store, to give a little strength for the journey, that they may rise up and go on their way, a little way further yet, here on their journey between the cradle and the grave. Remember us then as a congregation. Remember us as a province, as a nation, that thou mayest look upon us in the time wherein we are, and that all that takes place may be blessed and sanctified to the hearts also of all that rule and reign over us, and that there may be a bowing at thy blessed footstool, and that there may be a returning again to thy law and to thy testimonies. Wilt thou give thy Spirit in a rich measure to do what we are not able to do, to touch the hearts of the people of our land? Oh, that there may go up a cry unto the God of the heavens and of the earth, whom that we have departed from, whom that we have denied, whose law we have broken, and who we have angered. O that thou mayest give to us hearts that are broken and that are contrite. Be with us in this hour. Grant us an undeserved blessing out of thy heavenly store. Do strengthen us to bring thy word. Make us faithful therein. And wilt thou give clarity from our mouth. Wilt thou give thy Spirit in our hearts. a place also for thy word to enter, and that thou mayest work where we are not able. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 92, stanza 4. Unrighteous witnesses have stood and told of crimes beyond belief, returning evil for my good. They overwhelm my soul with grief. And what follows in the fourth stanza of Psalter number 92. Beloved congregation, we read here in verse 32 of Luke 23, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Thus, there we see them. They are being led away from the judgment hall. The Lord Jesus is not alone. Two others, we read, they are with him, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. Isaiah says that he was numbered with the transgressors. Were you all ever numbered with the transgressors? Because if we were never numbered with the transgressors, then we also will never be numbered with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see a transgressor. No, we see two transgressors. And yet one of them of these transgressors is soon going to confess his transgressions. One of these transgressors is soon going to repent of his transgressors, of his transgressions. It is for the sake of that man, it is for the sake of this transgressor that the Lord Jesus is walking. He is walking with him. He is walking beside him. That man is on the verge of perishing. Are you on the verge of perishing? Are there those in our midst who must say, I am on the edge. I am on the brink of perishing. And yet though this man is on the brink, on the verge of perishing, salvation is very, very near unto this man. It has never been so close unto this man in his whole life. How close is it? It is as close as he is to a broken heart and a contrite spirit. How close are we to a broken heart and a contrite spirit? Because that is what God will not despise. Oh, if we are close to that, then we are very near to salvation. Our text for this afternoon can be found in the portion that was read to us, Luke 23, and thereof the middle part of verse 33, only these words, there they crucified him. So far the words of our text, Christ crucified. First, the purpose of his crucifixion. Second, the significance of his crucifixion. And third, the blessing of his crucifixion. Christ crucified. First, the purpose. Second, the significance. And third, the blessing of his crucifixion. There, they crucified him. Where? We read, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. And we see in the margin here, it says, the place of a skull. And in the Hebrew, we read elsewhere, it is called Golgotha. That is a place where many skulls lay. Perhaps they could be seen. Perhaps they were buried. But it is a loathsome place that is a reminder of the consequences of our sin. What a loathsome thing that sin is. The devil makes it appear the opposite. Does he not, young people? The devil points you to all this world. The devil points you to everything that is against the Word of God. And the devil makes all those things to appear to be desirable. But do you know where sin led the Savior? It led him to the place of a skull. And where do we think that sin is going to lead us? Can it lead us to any other place? There they crucified him. That was typified already in the Old Testament. When we can read that sin offering, how that was burned without the camp. And then that blood that was brought into the tabernacle, that was brought into the sanctuary, that is, it was brought in unto God. There is not a single prophecy. There is not a single type that has been given to the church in the Old Testament that is not either fulfilled already or that will be soon fulfilled. The Lord Jesus speaks about every jot and tittle. We would say in our language that speaks about the Hebrew alphabet, we would say that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. He says there is not one jot, there is not one tittle of that law of God that shall not be fulfilled. Pilate does not realize that. The Jews do not realize that. The cruel soldiers do not realize that. But every single thing that these people are doing, that is all being regulated from above, that is all taking place under the decree of God Most High, and everything that they are doing that is taking place for the good and for the welfare of that true church of God. Even though the sin, even though the evil that they do is attributed unto themselves and can never be cast upon the Lord. There they crucified him, the Son of God, the King of Israel. They stripped naked his bleeding body. Oh, they have put him, we read, to an open shame. His limbs, and they are stretched out across the beam and the nails. The nails, they are driven into those hands, into those feet. What hands were they? They were those tender hands which have touched the eyes of the blind that they might see. And they were those tender hands that have touched the lepers that they might be healed. They were those tender hands that have touched even the ear of his own enemies as they were fighting against him, that he may be healed. Or it is into those tender hands, it is into those blessed feet of the Savior that the nails, they are driven by these soldiers. The nails, they are driven into his feet. The countless nerves, they are struck, and they are sending that blessed body of the Son of God into painful, excruciating extortions. Oh, that blessed Son of God, he is at the whim of these rough soldiers. They lift that cross, they drop it into that hole. Oh, that blessed Son of God, that tender Son of Man, who was ready to take up the cause of all the poor here below. And then he has to suffer under the weight of his own body, so he hangs. He hangs between the heaven and the earth. Oh, as if God will not have him, as if no man in this world will have him, cast out of earth, cast out of heaven. He hangs in the center. He hangs as the chief of the malefactors that are in this world. Oh, he hangs as one who is unworthy even of the blessing of life itself. The shepherds of the church, they mock, they taunt him. He saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. Oh, this is how these shepherds of the church, they deal. They have dealt no differently with Judas when he has come in all of his guilt, with all the pangs of his conscience. Oh, then there is nothing to heal him. No, then he can look after it himself. And now they are mocking. They mock the Son of God himself. Oh, they receive their desire. They receive their desire of sweet revenge. Revenge upon him who did so often say to them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Oh, now they stand before his cross. Now they mock him. Now they say, "Where are your words? Now where is your courage? Now where is your doctrine?" My words, a cause for scorn they make. The lip they curl, the head they shake, and mocking, "Bid me trust the Lord till he salvation shall afford. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." O congregation, what a long suffering. What a love that was in the heart of that dear and that blessed Savior. There they crucified him. And who helped him? Who helped them? Who helped the enemy to crucify him? God, his Father. You say his Father? Did he help the enemy? Yes. Do you know what we read in the Bible? "In him we live and we move and we have our being." And thus those soldiers and those Jews, they cannot live. They cannot have a being except in God. God himself preserves them there in their existence. God himself upholds their life so that they do not die. And not only so, but he goes further. Because we do not only live in him, we do not only have our being in him, but we also move. Thus, every motion that those soldiers do make, when they are driving these nails into the hands and feet of that blessed Savior, then it is God on high who is helping them. It is God on high who is providing strength that those nails they may be driven in. But there is more to the providence of the Lord than his preservation and his cooperation, working along even with sinners. There is also his government. Oh, then he is directing everything unto a certain and a determinate end. No, then it is not so that they are able, outside of his decree, outside of his will, to do everything that their hearts desire. No, that is not the truth. No, it is not so. And that the enemy is able to have free reign over that church of God. No, Satan, he is given a certain length. And the Lord, he will go along with this in the way of his decree. but that length that is not infinite. And thus there is a cause. Thus there is a reason. Oh, you say it was the desire of the Jews that he should be crucified. So it was. Crucify him. Crucify him. It was in the decree of the Father. So it was. Already from eternity. But it was also in the covenant that was sworn between the Father and the Son. Oh, that was in his own covenant. And it was for that reason that he gives no resistance. It is for that reason that he goes as a sheep to the slaughter. It is that reason, it is for that reason that he opens not his mouth. I gave my back to the smiters, we read, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. It is for that reason that the Son of God, he declines to drink. He declines to drink of vinegar. He declines to drink of gall. Anything that would take away the pain and the sensation that is due to the sin of his people that was rejected by him. Oh, every pang that is due to that church that will be borne by this Son of God. He will drink that cup that his Father has given him, and he will drink it even unto the end. Blood. Blood drips from off of him. It has dripped from him already in the garden. It has dripped out of the pores of his entire body. It drips from the stripes that are upon his back. It drips from his head, from the crown of thorns which pierces him. Oh, it drips from his hands. It drips from his feet. Soon it will pour out also of his side. And every drop is seen by his Father. Every drop of that blood that is counted by his Father. Every drop that is brought into that inner sanctuary, from that place that is without the camp, every drop is sprinkled upon that mercy seat. It is the blood of God, and the blood of God that is not wasted. No, God has a purpose. And what is that? What does the apostle say? He says that without shedding of blood, there is no remission. No remission. Thus, outside of this blood, the entire human race is lost. For there is none that doeth good. No, not one. We see further in our second thought the significance of this crucifixion. Where do we find it? Our fathers have written of it. Is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death? Answer, yes, there is. For thereby I am assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me. For the death of the cross was accursed of God. The curse. What is the curse? God cursed the serpent. What was that? Oh, then the displeasure of the Lord that was pronounced against the devil and also against the instrument, that is the serpent himself. Then he was cursed. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. Thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Then it is the wrath of God especially that is laying upon the devil himself. Sometimes curses are pronounced by people. We can read that Goliath, children. You know Goliath. Goliath cursed David by his gods. He cursed him. What does that mean? Well, then he asked his gods to bring wrath upon David, that their displeasure would lie on David. And did it? Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says an idol is nothing. And so it didn't do David any harm that the curse was pronounced against him in the name of these gods of Goliath. Sometimes men in this world will pronounce a curse in the name of the Lord against a person. But you know what Solomon says? He says, the curse causeless shall not come. And thus, if it is just because then he does not like that man, well, then it shall not come. Know that curse that has to have a cause. What did Elisha do? He cursed 40 and 2 children. We read that a she-bear came out of the wood, and they are torn. Thus the Lord himself, he is following upon this curse. A curse is not just a wish. No, a curse that is something that is done in the name of the Lord. And when it is done by the Spirit of the Lord, then the Lord is also following up on that curse. What is the opposite of a curse? Say a blessing. That is right. And for a blessing, it is the same. You know the patriarchs, Jacob, before that he died, then he gathered his children and he blessed them in the name of the Lord. That was not just a wish. No, we can see how that blessing has come to pass. It was in the Lord's name. And now Moses, he said, when the children of Israel were to come into Egypt, he says that they must put the curse upon Mount Ebal, and the blessing that has to be put upon Mount Gerizim. Thus he says, I set a blessing and a curse before you. And what was the blessing and curse? Well, he says, a blessing if you will obey the commandment of the Lord, and a curse if you will not obey. Thus, the curse that is pronounced by the Lord on disobedience, that is why the ground that we stand upon is cursed. That is why there are thorns and thistles. It is cursed. Why? Because of disobedience. Paul speaks about the curse of the law. Thus, there is the law itself, and then there is the punishment appointed by God for the transgression of the law. God is angry with the wicked every day. And that is why man lies under the curse. every transgression and disobedience that will receive its just recompense of reward. And now what does Moses say? He says, he that hangeth on a tree is accursed of God. What does that mean? That means that this is the most cruel, this is the most reproachful of all the deaths that were appointed by God. That is, as it were, for the most serious crimes. Then a man was not to be stoned, but he was to be hung. He was to be crucified. That was the death appointed by God for his only begotten Son. Through the instrumentality of Pilate, through the instrumentality of that Jewish people. That is now the worst death possible. It is reserved. It is reserved for the greatest of criminals. It is reserved to avenge the most heinous sins against God and against his law. Indeed, Christ was hung for rebellion, for making himself a king, for sinning against Caesar, and making himself the Son of God. That represents sin against the whole law, that fifth commandment, as the foundation of the entire law. Because if there is no obedience, then the whole law falls. Thus we have the ultimate sin. That is just what the devil said to Adam, do not obey. And so Christ, he is now also accused of not obeying, insubordination. He made himself a king. Crucify him. Crucify him. Let us sing 47, verses 7 and 8. Unnumbered foes would do me wrong. They press about me, fierce and strong. Like beasts of prey, their rage they vent. My courage fails, my strength is spent. 7 and 8 of 47.
Thank you.
And there they crucified him. Our third thought, the blessing of this crucifixion, rebellion, was the sin of Adam. By one evil deed, then he has declared that he was not ready to obey the whole law. He ate of the tree of which God had forbidden him. Because of Adam's rebellion, because of Adam's disobedience, the entire human race is lying under the curse, is lying under the displeasure of the Lord. There is not a person in the whole world that does not experience something of the effects of the curse. But now, the cause of that curse that is so largely unknown in the world. And if we do not know the cause, then also we cannot know the remedy. How can that change in the life of a person? Or you say, by the word, by the preaching of the word, by the preaching of the law, by the preaching of the gospel. Yes, that is the means, that is the instrument that it can change. But how long have we heard it? How many years have we been under the instruction of law and gospel? And did we ever learn the cause of that curse? Did we ever learn the remedy for that curse? It is not enough that we have the word. No, it is by word and spirit. Then it is a most powerful work of the Holy Spirit that is necessary to enter, to strike into the heart of a man with that word, that a man may be regenerated, that a man may be born again. Outside of this, then we do not attribute all of our misery unto the curse. Then we just say it is this cause in this world or that cause in this world. But we do not look any further. The rulers of the Jews, they desired the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. God his Father also appointed it. But what about the disciples? Well, you say there was nothing for them that was so perplexing as the crucifixion of Christ. Never had they expected this, although they were told so many things. No, they have never thought that it was going to go in such a way when the Lord Jesus called them. And when he sent them forth even to preach the kingdom of God, oh, then there were so many things that they did not understand. And now when Christ, he is hanging upon this cross, then surely they cannot understand this. No, then in their conception, then it goes exactly wrong. It goes exactly the opposite that it should be going in their life. Oh, it goes so backward in the life of God's children. It is not backward from the side of the Lord. No, he is governing everything. But now in the life of that people, all things are not going in the way that they desired. Things are not going in the way that they have so expected. Rebecca first was barren. Barren. No fruit. Or you may ask the people of the Lord if that is not now backward in their life. And now the Lord was entreated of Isaac. And she conceives in her womb. And then, then she thinks it goes all good now. But then there is a struggle. And then she says, if it be so, why am I thus? She cannot understand that struggle. It does not go right in the perception of that people. And there goes Rebecca. And she brings that unto the Lord. You see how it goes in the life of these disciples. The Lord has not changed. The Spirit of the Lord has not changed over 6,000 years. How He is dealing, how He is leading each one of His children, then there are lessons. They are lessons that need to be learned, not just in their mind, not just to be taught a doctrine, no, but in the experience of their life. Then it is not possible that they are learning everything in one day. No, those practical instructions, they are going step by step in the life of His people. Thus the Lord, He draws them. He draws them by love. He plants it. He pours it out in their heart. Did He ever pour out His love in your heart? Did He give you love for Himself and for His day and for His law and His institutions and His people and His servants and so on? Love. And if there is love in our heart for Him, then there will also come sorrow in our heart. Because it cannot be otherwise that if there is love for the Lord, that when we transgress against Him, then there will also be grief. Grief in the bottom of our heart. And if there is such grief, then there is also going to be a desire to turn away from our sin. It cannot be otherwise. Otherwise, there is no grief. Otherwise, there is no love. All the disciples, they have experienced this. This was living in the heart of them as it is living in the heart of every single one of that true church. And yet, they were so perplexed. When Christ was hanging upon that tree, they did not see any need for this. This has gone just the opposite of how that they thought. Say the disciples. Did the disciples not bring sacrifices? Indeed they did. They brought them also unto the temple of the Lord. But how is it now for that young church? The sacrifices that they are bringing unto the Lord. They are all sacrifices that are coming from their own side. They are ready with those sacrifices. There is not a perfect lamb out of their own flock that they are not ready to give unto the Lord. They would not miss it for one day. Not for one hour, not for one moment. Oh, with wholeheartedness, they would give back unto the Lord everything. Oh, then they are ready. They are ready to sacrifice unto the Lord. Indeed. And yet they do not perceive the sacrifice of the Lamb. Then they do not perceive what is coming from that Lamb. They do not perceive the meaning of that Lamb and the slaying of that Lamb. Thus, that church of God, oh, they are involved in so many sacrifices. They have so many of their own offerings, but they do not perceive the necessity of the offering of the Son of God. What has to happen for that? That they might see this need. That young church. Well, then they need to realize something. Then they need to realize that with everything that has now happened in my life, that I still remain under the curse. Under the curse. Paul, he says, I was alive without the law once. And when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Oh, did the commandment ever come in our life? We have heard the commandment so many times in our life. Every Sabbath again, Paul did too. But one day the commandment came to him. And when the commandment comes, then sin revives. Why? Because what does the Bible say? By the law is the knowledge of sin. And then what does Paul say? He says, I died. I died. Oh, there are so many that live by the law. They live with their obedience to the law. But Paul says, when the commandment came, when it truly came, when the Spirit brought it, then just the opposite happened. Then I died. Why? Because that law condemns me. What is the condemnation of the law? It is a curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed, and I died. He says, I am a violator of that law. And do you know what he could not find? Forgiveness by the law. You can read that law over and over and over again. Do you know what you will never find in there? A mediator, a deliverer. It is not in the law. No, I am a transgressor of the law. When the commandment comes, and every transgression, that will receive its just recompense of reward. Ah, but do you not love the Lord? Oh, Sometimes I hope so. Do I love the Lord or no? And yet, the love of the Lord does not deliver me from that curse of the law. Oh, you say, are you not sorrowful for your sin? Sometimes I think so. And yet sorrow, that does not deliver me from the curse of the law, from the punishment that is due unto me for transgression. Oh, but do you not live a better life now? Oh, I do not live like I used to live. That is true. In the world as I used to live, that is true. But that world that still lives in my heart. And even though that I do not live the same as I used to live, oh, then it does not take away from that curse, from the punishment that is due unto me for my disobedience. O congregation, the Lord, He does not waste His grace. Our third thought, the blessedness of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is not just a doctrine. That is something that is experienced in the life of His people. Who may experience that? Those who lie under the curse. Under the curse for what? For their disobedience. Faith can never appropriate the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ until it perceives the blessed suitability of that work for myself. A man never purchases raiment that does not fit him. No. The Spirit reveals something of that curse-removing surety unto those who may feel, truly feel, that they are lying themselves under that curse. Do you ever feel that? Because of your disobedience? That is the only people that can benefit from this revelation. Otherwise, it does not fit me. Otherwise, it fits someone else. Indeed, because it is for sinners. Oh, it is such a soul alone that will truly by faith flee unto that curse-removing surety. Oh, that the benefits of the death of Christ may be appropriated to our own soul. Oh, it is only such a soul that has come under that curse for his own disobedience that may ever, by the light of the Spirit of the Lord, experience something of the blessedness of the crucifixion of that Son of God. O congregation, there they crucified him. Justice must be satisfied, either by ourselves, our Father say, or by another. And now by nature, we are all living under the curse. Under the curse of the law. Do we ever feel it? Do we ever feel the smallest part of it? Are we ever burdened with the disfavor of the Lord upon our own disobedience? Cannot remain just the doctrine of our church. No, the Lord Jesus, he did not explain it all to his disciples. Just read it in those 3 years. And then sometimes he would say something of it, and the disciples did not understand it. And he did not go any further. No, he said instead, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. It is not time for it. But when that Spirit of truth is come, he will teach you all things, and he will guide you into that truth. All their doctrinal knowledge, no. It had to be experienced. The Lord had to lead them further. The Lord has to lead his children through those experiences and all a mystery. Such a mystery to that people. So often, everything all upside down. Say, it is a wonder if that people do not defect. Yes, that is a wonder. From our side, they cannot defect because he keeps them. In all their ignorance, oh, then the Lord, he preserves that people, those disciples. It is true they forsook him and fled. But he did not let them go. And he draws that people back to one another. And he draws that people back unto himself. Oh, he will teach his people the curse. He will give them to feel what that curse is. Because of their own transgression. Because of their own disobedience. Oh, and then he will teach them. He will teach them the purpose. He will teach them the significance. He will teach them the blessedness of the crucifixion of the Son of God. And he will open to them a fountain of blessing to everyone that may come unto God by him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do bless thy word. Thou knowest all our hearts, all cut from the same cloth, all in disobedience, and thou hast suffered for such persons. Oh, could it be, Lord, that we may be all brought by that power of thy Spirit into that place that we may cry for mercy. Oh, even as that thief who was on the verge of destruction, but then he may confess and that he had done all things amiss. Oh, that thou mayest give it unto us also, for there is mercy at the throne of grace. Look upon us in the rest of this day. Bring us safely to our places. Keep us from all sin and evil, from all danger and harm, from all sickness and death. Care for us in the labors of our hands in this world. Forgive and take away all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. 143. The first stanza, O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me. In thy abounding love, blot out all my iniquity. And what follows in the first stanza of Psalter 143. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.